The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
Our next item I have a vested interest in because I am one. What am I? I'm a smoker. There, I admitted it. I've always admitted it. But with only a few short days left before we enter a new year, many people are looking at ditching old habits and embracing new, healthier ones. One of the most common New Year's resolutions is to give up smoking. I've done it year after year after year, and maybe I'll try it again this year. We want to find out the best way to ensure that you ditch the fags for good. Joining me to discuss this is Dr. Paul Kavanagh, public health medicine specialist, and Gary English, who has just recently kicked the habit. Gary, I'll come to you in just a moment. But Paul, let me start with you, if I may. Have we seen a reduction in the prevalence of smoking in Irish society?
Definitely, Adrian. We're making good progress in terms of tackling smoking and all the harm that it does to people. So recent data from the Healthy Ireland survey would indicate that about just under one in five people smoke. And if you look back to where we were in the late 90s, we would have seen about one in three people smoke. So overall, the level of smoking in the population, it's almost halved, you know, so that's very good progress. But one of the things that we noticed with the most recent Healthy Ireland survey is that the trends over the last couple of years, we're a little bit concerned that they may have stalled, and that could be for a number of different reasons. It could be a little bit of a blip in our statistics, but I suppose we're conscious as well that there's been COVID over the last couple of years, so maybe people haven't been accessing services as much as they would have in the past, and maybe demand or interest in quitting has changed because of all of the effects that COVID and some of the related measures have had on people's lives. So, you know, from our point of view in the HSE, it very much underscores that the work that we need to do in terms of helping people quit, that's really important work, and there's real urgency around it now.
Now, I, like I said in my introduction, I myself am unfortunately a smoker. I find myself becoming socially isolated because I smoke, and it is for reasons like that that I'm very determined now to try and quit this year. Remind us and remind me, not that I really need reminding, of some of the risks associated with smoking.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, really, to be very direct on it, smoking is one of the most harmful things that you can do from the point of view of your health. And as you said out there yourself, you know, most smokers are aware of that, and most smokers are interested in making a quit attempt. In fact, statistics will tell us that in the last year, one in two people who smoke made a quit attempt. And their motivation for doing that, most of them are aware of the health effects. So if people are a long-term smoker, one in two people who smoke long-term can expect to die from that habit. On average, smokers lose 10 years of life because of their smoking. Each week in Ireland, there's over 100 deaths and over 1,000 hospitalizations, which are due to smoking. And smoking increases the risks of chronic respiratory disease, cardiovascular disease, and a number of cancers. And I know sometimes when people smoke, they think, well, sure, look, that's very much far off in the distance. And, you know, when I'm dead, I'm dead. People might have that sort of fatalistic attitude towards it. Very important for people to bear in mind that before people who smoke, before the smoking leads to premature mortality, it also leads to chronic illness and to disability. So people will be suffering from chronic lung disease, chronic cardiovascular disease as well. So really, smoking from a health point of view, it's one of the most dangerous things that people can do. The other thing as well that we often hear is, you know, when we work with younger people who smoke, they might think, well, sure, look, that's very much off in the future and not something for me to worry about now. But the other side to it is, for younger people, what they may not be aware of is that smoking is having an effect on their health. So sometimes when we work with younger people, and when younger people quit smoking, they're very surprised at the effects that that has in terms of their energy, their breathing, improvements in their mental health. And I think the other thing as well to really underscore is just the sheer cost that there is associated with the habit. So if somebody is smoking 20 cigarettes a day, that's costing somebody €100 a week or over €5,000 a year. So, you know, there's plenty of good reason, health and for other reasons, why somebody might want to make a quit attempt in January.
is it ever too late to decide to give up smoking? For people who may have been smoking for decades of their lives, is it ever too late? Is the damage done, in other words?
Oh, it's always a better choice for somebody to consider quitting than continue smoking. Certainly, if somebody is in a younger age group and they're smoking, then the opportunity for them to reverse and bring their level of risk back to that of an average person in the population, that opportunity is better when people quit earlier in life. But even for people who have established disease, for example, lung disease that's due to smoking, one of the best things that they can do in terms of their health is to quit. So certainly, it's always a good time for somebody who smokes to consider quitting.
All right, I'll come back to you now in just a second, Paul, because I want to bring in Gary English. Gary, you're very welcome to the Hard Shoulder. We're talking to you today because you are that soldier. You gave up smoking in September. After how long? How long had you been smoking?
Well, I'd been smoking for 45 years. I started smoking when I was 12 years of age. And I'll tell you how it started. In those days, you could buy what they called a cigarette and strike.
Mm-hmm.
Twopence for a cigarette and strike. And that's how I started smoking. Now, I hated things when I started them, right? But because everyone in my age group was smoking, it was a natural thing to do, nearly. You persisted until you got to grips with it, right? Now, I saw my own grandmother die from emphysema of the lungs in an oxygen tent in the 70s. And my own mother died from emphysema of the lungs, directly smoking related, and had an oxygen tank with her at all times up to the day she died.
And that wasn't enough. That wasn't enough to turn you off at a young age.
No, I can tell you how many poisons are in a cigarette. There's over 600 poisons in every cigarette that you smoke, right? I can tell you that for a fact. I can tell you what a lung looks like. Where it is it's in the mind. It's the psychological battle is the biggest killer, right? And what happens is, when you say you're giving up the cigarettes, and you're a smoker yourself,
mm-hmm.
the minute you say you're giving up the cigarettes, what happens in your head? You start to panic. And you say, well, I'll have an extra couple of fags because I know I'm giving them up at the end of the week, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the mind is playing tricks on you. And basically what you have to do is you have to beat the mind before anything else. Now, as luck would have it, none of my children smoke. But the reason they don't smoke is because when they used to come home and say to me, Dad, give up the cigarettes, instead of saying, don't be talking rubbish, I used to say to them, you're right. Unfortunately, it's an addiction I have. And I said, only idiots smoke. And I said to them, I said, you're looking at the biggest idiot in the world because I'm still smoking, even though I know I shouldn't be smoking.
Okay, you're preaching to the choir here, I have to tell you. My mind operates in exactly the same way, I have to say. So help me here, Gary. After 45 years of smoking, you've had several attempts. You've tried acupuncture, hypnotism, you name it, you've tried it. What didn't work before, because I have to put myself in that same category, I've done all of these things as well. What worked this time?
Well, basically, I ended up, I had to go to hospital, right? Purely because of another issue entirely. And I'm looking at an operation, and the surgeon who was doing the operation, he said to me two things. He said, one, he said, you need to lose about 2 stone in weight and you need to pack the cigarettes. And he said, the reason you need to pack the cigarettes is, he said, in the event that we operate on you, he says, you have such a higher rate of ending up in ICU, which is where you do not want to end up in, because of your smoking. And my breathing was very poor. I had a horrendous cough, right? And he said, really, the smoke. Now, and I said to him, I said, look it. I said, I can lose the weight. Forget about ever giving up the cigarettes, right? What happened was, they in turn referred me to the smoking cessation nurse in St. James's Hospital, right? A girl called Carmel. And it's the first time anyone ever said to me, and it's so true, it's unbelievable, right? She said to me, she said, what have you achieved and so on and so forth and everything and all this? And I've done all right, okay? And she said, you're in control of all those aspects in your life. I said, yeah. She said, why are you allowing the cigarettes control you? Why don't you start to control them? And it twigged with me. I said, she's absolutely right.
So the scare from the doctor, the warning of ICU wasn't enough.
No, that wasn't enough. believe it or not. If you said to me, Gary, you're going to end up in a wooden box tomorrow morning if you don't pack it up, that wouldn't have even been enough of a scare. The fact that she said to me, you've controlled everything in your life, why are the cigarettes controlling you? That was the one thing that just twigged with me for some reason or other, right? Now, she made huge suggestions which were very relevant. She said, before you give up the cigarettes, she said, I don't know if you smoke at home, she said, stop smoking in the house, right? And she said, put the cigarettes out in the shed. And that's what I did, right? So now that I wanted a cigarette, I knew I could have one, but I had to go to the shed to have it, right? And I stuck to that rule. Two, I put on my left or right shoulder what I call the good angel and the bad angel. And every time the bad angel said to me, oh, Gary, you need a cigarette, the good angel on the left shoulder would say to me, don't mind that gobshite over there.
Right.
It sounds stupid, but it's simple, right?
Okay, so did you have a quit day? Did you set a target for yourself, or did you just one day say, that's it?
No, I did have a quit day. And in fact, I went beyond the quit day, because what I did was I went on holidays. And you know yourself, when you're in Spain and the cigarettes are so cheap, right? You're saying to yourself, I know, I'll give them up when I come back. And I did, right? I was actually meant to quit them a week before the week I quit them, right? And I gave them up, right? And the other thing that she also said to me, which was very important, I smoke like a trooper in the car. I don't know if you do it yourself, right? She said, put the cigarettes in the boot of the car. She said, I'm not telling you you can't have a cigarette in the car. What she said I'm telling you is, if you want a cigarette, you have to stop the car, get out and have the fag. Right?
Mm-hmm.
All these things just helped me more, right? And I'll be honest with you, my lungs, I can actually feel my lungs expand in the back of my body. I couldn't feel that before I gave up the cigarettes.
So you eventually stopped. Did you stop with any aids, or did you just quit?
Oh, no. I had to have the aids, right? And I took, I won't mention the product, but it's a nicotine product, right? And I took lozenges, and I also took the highest strength patch, right? Now, in the first week when I stopped, right, I would have the highest strength Invisi patch, right? And I would go through at least two boxes of lozenges a day. Now, you're only meant to have 15 of them a day, right? And it was the maximum strength, 4 milligrams. And that's what I was doing, right? Today, I use the 4 milligram lozenger, and that's it. And I only use maybe at the max one box a day.
Okay. And do you intend, is it your aim to get off those aids?
It is eventually. But at this stage, I'm better off using that, right, than actually having a cigarette.
Okay, I want to bring Dr. Paul Kavanagh back in. Paul, listening to Gary speak, it certainly isn't giving me a bit of inspiration. The non-smoking aids, the, you know, the patches, the chewing gum and so on, is there harm in staying on them? I know, for example, my own grandmother died last year at the age of 98. When she was 87, she gave up cigarettes and she used chewing gum for the rest of her life. At 98 years of age, she was chewing nicotine chewing gum, but she wasn't smoking. Are the aids, they're obviously not meant to be long term, but are they doing you harm if you continue them long term?
Yeah, well, Adrian, first of all, I mean, that's a great story, and well done, Gary, in terms of your success. In terms of breaking down what it was that worked for Gary, I think listening to Gary's story, there are really three factors from my perspective which came together to enable Gary to be successful at his quit attempt. The first is he was very clear in his motivation in terms of wanting to quit. The second thing is he set a date and he had a plan, and he was very careful in terms of thinking ahead around triggers that might lead him to relapse and how he might deal with cravings. But the third and the single most important step that Gary made that increased his likelihood of making a successful quit attempt was that he reached out and he got support. Too many people, Adrian, go cold turkey or go it alone when they make a quit attempt. There are services available across the country. Gary spoke about Carmel and St. James's Hospital. There are over 50 stop smoking advisors available to people across the country. They provide free advice. It's easy to access, tailored to the individual. It's expert. And most of all, it works. Now, taking the question that you specifically asked there in terms of the stop smoking medicines, for most people who use a stop smoking medicine, they might use it for a couple of weeks or maybe 1 or 2 months, and then they will stop using it thereafter. A very small minority of people will continue to use those for a longer period of time. And certainly compared with smoking, that's a safer option. But again, you know, the stop smoking advisors that we have across the country, they're able to work with people and help them make that final step in terms of stop using a stop smoking medicine if they have been using that for longer than might be more usual.
So for somebody listening to us right now who is a smoker, knows they should get off them, really wants to get off them, has been putting it off for years on end, I'm talking about myself, by the way, where should I go? Who should I talk to this week?
Yeah, again, Adrian, I think the key message that I'd really like your listeners to hear today is, you know, stop smoking. That's a very difficult step to take. Too many people take that step alone. I'd really encourage people to reach out for support. The HSE can help. So we have services available online at quit.ie. We have services available on the phone, free phone 1-800-201-203. Those services are available to people, easy to access. They can be tailored to the individual. They're delivered by experts. And most of all, those services work. They're safe and effective, and they increase the likelihood that somebody will be successful in their quit attempt by 2 to 3-fold. It's a huge step to take to try and stop smoking. So I really think it's important that people reach out for support and maximise the chance that they'll be successful.
Okay, so quit.ie, or you can phone 1-800-201-203. Gary, just finally with you, you're a couple of months into quitting. Have you got the confidence now to say, that's it?
Well, I always said if I could give up the cigarettes for a month, I'd never smoke again. Right? And I believe that I won't smoke again.
Okay.
Right? It's psychological, but I have to agree with the doctor there in terms of the facilities the HSE offer, right? Anyone who's thinking about this, right? Remember, it's not the easiest thing in the world. It can be a nightmare. Right. And there were days when I just wanted to kill someone rather than give up the cigarettes. Right. You will go through phases like that. The support that you get on the phone, I believe, is the most important aspect, because you're setting yourself a goal, and a goal that someone else is interested in you achieving as much as yourself.
OK, so the message is give it a shot, but don't go it alone. Reach out for support. And Paul, I know that's your thing as well. You're advising people to go for it, but go for it with support.
I think the key things that people can do in terms of being successful with their quit attempt is making sure that they reach out for support, that they put a plan in place, and that they use that support and use stop smoking services and use stop smoking medicines, because that's going to increase their chances of becoming smoke-free by 2 to 3-fold.
All right. Dr. Paul Kavanagh, HSE Public Health Medicine Specialist, and Gary English, newly quit smoker. Both of you, thanks very much indeed for joining us on The Hard Shoulder.
Thanks, Adrian.
My pleasure entirely.
A lot of text coming in on this, actually. TV advertisements in the early 2000s of damaged lungs was the answer for me to give up after 37 years. And yes, my mother's death due to lung disease also. Best decision ever. I'm now in control for 16 years. If you're somebody who has quit in the past, help us who haven't. Send me a text to 53106 and let me know how you did it. What was the trick to actually giving them up? Here's another text that just came into us, and it says, myself and my wife separated. My 12-year-old daughter lives with me. I was smoking about 20 fags a day. My daughter said to me, if you die from smoking cigarettes, what am I going to do? Who'll mind me? I gave up that day. It was extremely difficult, but that was my reason and willpower. I'm off them 3 years now, says Michael. Well done, Michael. Send us a text to 53106 to encourage idiots like me and other smokers listening to us right now to quit. 53106.